Matthew chapter 22, and we'll read verses 35 to 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, help me please to speak the truth in love. Lord, we know that as we look into your word, you've told us nothing that would hurt us or harm us, but only that which will help us. So please help us to be free from the bondage of the world and the devil and our flesh. And Lord, please help us to believe your word so that we can live your word. Strengthen us tonight as your children, please. In Jesus' name, amen. There is so much in this passage here. I started this morning with just understanding God's word is truth. It never changes, and I only know what's right by God's truth. There is so much psychobabble out there about psychology, and we're too impressed with people's scholarship and intellectualism to where when somebody says, I have a doctorate in psychology, we're too impressed with people's scholarship. And if somebody says, well, I have a doctorate in psychology, oh, wow, so you went to college for 4 years, got a Bachelor of Science, and you went to college 4 more years, and you got a doctorate. Well, who cares if what they've been taught is wrong? Dr. Ronald Petrick was a psychiatrist who got saved. I've heard him preach several times. He's just retired from his church. I've been to his church several times. I asked him, a man that had a psychology doctorate, and now he's a pastor, and he's been a preacher for years. I said, how do you help people that are drugged up? Now, that was 25 years ago when I asked that question. Now, when we go soul winning in the area, I'm seeing more and more people. Our society is getting more and more drugged. And literally, I can tell, Andy and I were soul winning 2.5 months ago. I could take you right to the place. We knocked on the door, and the lady came, and you could tell it, something was weird. She wasn't vicious or anything. It was just, hi, how are you? And I was like, whoa. You can tell when people are, when their mind is, I don't know, bats in the belfry, or you can tell when it's not all there. And I said, ma'am, I'm Pastor Nash, and this is Andy, and we're from Gospel Light Baptist Church. And, oh, I'm so glad. And I was like, okay, I'm glad I'm pastor too, but not like that. You know something's wrong. And I'm meeting more and more people as our society gets more. It's amazing how many drug overdoses are in our county. And this is rural America. This isn't city. We're not metro. This is independent, good old boy country. I mean, it's amazing to me. And it's on the increase. Nothing is on the decrease. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. My only measure for truth is the Bible. I'm not impressed with people's scholarship. If you spent 4 years going to a college and they taught you the Bible isn't real and the answer to man's problems is his surroundings, you know that's where the public housing idea comes from, right? 1940s. If you give man a good surrounding and environment, then he'll turn out better. Where has that gotten us? Go to the government housing projects and look. It's the only thing worse is, well, I'm still not sure it's worse, but going to the zoo is similar. They're killing each other. They're attacking each other. They're living like animals. The answer to man's problems is not our environment or our past. The answer to man's problems is our relationship with God. And if you put God out of the picture, you end up with a horrible mess. And it just gets worse. I'd be very careful about letting someone prescribe to you mind-altering medication when they themselves don't believe the Bible, and I said it this morning, that we evolved from apes. If they support homosexuality and transgender pedophilia, then they themselves are mentally ill. And when they try to tell you you're not normal for believing that, well, here, let's give you some medication so you can think like us. Ah, that ought to be alert. There are mental illnesses, and I realize this, where the mind is broken. And because of its problem, it has to be, and it can only be dealt with by medicine. I learned that from Dr. Ronald Petrick. Once again, he was the psychologist that got saved and great Bible preacher. God approaches, I told you, physical illness differently than mental illness. God tells us that He does not promise us physical health in the New Testament. Listen closely. The TV megachurches tell you that there is physical healing in the atonement of Jesus Christ, but they're liars. They know what they're telling you isn't real. They're not misguided. They know what they're saying isn't true. You say, well, are you sure? Yeah, as they read their notes, they're putting on their glasses. God wants to heal you. Here, let me read that right. Have you heard, and when you watch, you know, if you've seen, don't, but Kenneth Copeland is up there saying, God wants you healed and well. Right to the side of the auditorium, they have a deaf person signing for the deaf. Really? Well, if you really believe what you're teaching, then how come you got deaf people in your church? It doesn't make any sense. It's all for manipulation. God offers us deliverance from this vile body and its sufferings. That's why we long for heaven. But God does, until we get to heaven, offer us the mind of Christ when we get saved. Mental health is available to us as God's people. Tonight, I want to look at the commands of God for our mind. We don't serve a cruel God. Think about this just for a second. God doesn't command us to do something what He doesn't make possible. If God commands you to do something, then He makes provision for you to do that also. Now, it's your choice whether you do it, but God does give you the ability to do so. God never commands you to do something that you can't do. So there are mental health disorders, and I told you this morning, because of birth defects and real physical problems, there are other mental health disorders that are not permanent, and God tells us in His Word how to fix them, not mind-altering drugs. If you will allow God to have His way in your life, He can enable you to do the things so your life is better. That is still everybody's choice, right? That's everybody's choice. God doesn't make us do anything. As we look at these promises tonight, we're going to start at Matthew 22. I want you to think this. If God has told me to do that, then I can do that. If God tells me to, then I can. I may not be doing it right now, and it may be a while until I get to doing it. But if God has commanded me to do this, because we're going to look at several commands tonight, then I can do that, because I don't serve a cruel God. I serve a God that enables me. Look at Matthew 22, verse 37 is the text verse. You know, and if you understand the context, it says this lawyer asked Jesus this question, tempting Him. This is a trap question. He wasn't asking because he wanted to know. He was asking to ensnare Jesus, and you know the Lord knew this. First of all, Jesus is being, they're trying to entrap Him. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And you've heard me say this before. If that's the only Bible you knew, you've got enough to keep you busy for the rest of your life. Because if this is the first commandment, and if this is the greatest commandment, then wouldn't the greatest sin be breaking the greatest commandment? And I don't know anybody that loves God 100% with everything they've got. I don't know anybody that's not working at it. Amen? God told me to love Him with all of my mind. All of it. This commandment comes before the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and this commandment is the foundation of every command in the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. This means I am to have access of all of my mind and control all of my mind, or I can't love God with all of my mind. I know I'm not being oversimplified here. Listen closely. Many of the millions of people in America who are mentally ill are mentally ill because they've chosen to love pornography with their mind. They chose. They made the choice. Millions of others are mentally ill in America because they've chosen to love blasphemy and anything that's dark and satanic involving the occult. Let me go to another group. Millions more are mentally ill because they have chosen to love what God says is an abomination. They love, it's all their choice. They love witchcraft, cross-dressing, homosexuality, pedophilia, transgenderism, abortion. The list goes on and on. Those things are an abomination to God. Millions are ill mentally because they've chosen to love bad music. The rock music that destroys your mind, the rap music that destroys your mind, and the country music and the pop. What they have chosen to love has defiled and destroyed their mind. And they're genuinely mentally ill, but they're mentally ill as an act of their will. They chose that. Because instead of saying this, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to partake of that because it'll keep me from loving God. They dove headfirst into the sewer of Satan's sins and they come out with a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. This is why your life doesn't change. Okay, I have no problem. You know, I'll amen it too. Jesus, you need to get saved so Jesus can change your life. Getting saved doesn't change you. It makes a change possible. But I know plenty of people that have gotten saved and their life hasn't changed one iota. Do you know why? Because their thinking hasn't changed. God gave them the mind of Christ, but they don't access it. You understand? They're still listening to the same music, still doing the same. Nothing changed. Your life doesn't change until your thinking changes. Now, I could show you several verses. Just listen to this, though, for a moment. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go to Isaiah in the Old Testament. I just want you to see it for yourself. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. I do believe salvation is very important. Nothing makes sense in the Bible until you get saved. Amen? Till the author of the book lives inside of you. No, you don't understand the Bible. But just because you get saved doesn't mean your life changes. When you get saved, your life changes as much as you let God correct you. Correct what? Your thinking. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind. I changed my mind to get saved, right? I stopped trusting myself. You're still not done repenting. We're supposed to be repenting until we get to heaven. I repented once to get saved. But every time I read that book and I find out that I'm wrong, I repent. Oh, wow, I was wrong. God's right. I need to change what I'm doing. That's repentance. Look at Isaiah 55 and look at the verse. Look at verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, watch, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I love this passage here. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. And God says in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. What a verse. God says, the unrighteous man, he needs to get saved. But his life, he won't enjoy being saved until he forsakes his thoughts. Your mind has to change for you to experience a happy Christian life. It's here. It starts here. Now, so God wants me, now I'm going to use this and you're going to hear me reference it, but God wants me to start loving him with my mind. You and me are supposed to, okay, I'm supposed to love my wife 100%. Everybody in here would agree with that. If I said, I love my wife most, and I just love other women 20%, right? That's kooky. There's two people that you're supposed to love 100%, your spouse and God. And God says, I want you to love me with all of your mind. God's not being unreasonable any more than your spouse is being unreasonable by saying, I want all of it. I don't just want 80%, you give it 20% to others. I want all of it. That's reasonable. That's reasonable, and God's not being unreasonable. God wants you to love Him with all of your mind. God wants you to think about Him, and you, because you love what you think about. You could take the word love and think, and you could make it synonymous this way. If you don't think about somebody, you don't love them very much. And the more you think about somebody, the more you love them. That's why your wife wants to know, did you think about me today? Yes, I did. That's why a text or a call is important to the sweet wife. Amen? Because she wants to know what? That's a symbol that says, you love me. You were thinking about me. Same thing with God. God says, for you to love me with your mind, you have to think about me. As you grow in grace, you can love God with more and more of your mind. As you mature as a Christian, you love God with more and more of what God's told you to love Him with, your mind. God wants you to meditate on Him, but that's so that you can commune with Him. God wants you to think about Him, but that's so that you can affectionately wrap the arms of your soul around Him. It's not just an end to think about Him or meditate Him. God wants your love. We love Him because He first loved us. God wants your love because you are His creation. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made, like the Bible says. Loving God with your mind, take your Bible and go to, and just want you to see it, and I know it's a simple verse, but go to Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. Loving God with your mind would include, in other words, how do I do this? Love the Lord thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. Okay, how do I do that? Philippians chapter 4 is going to say this. Ready? Philippians 4 verse 4. And this is one of the more famous verses. I know it's a song that we sing too, but if you don't have it memorized, it's a wonderfully, wonderful good verse. Watch this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 16 says, rejoice evermore. So there's two verses in the Bible that say, rejoice all the time. Why would God tell us to do that? You ever heard the statement, fake it till you make it? If you don't feel like praising God, praise God anyway because it'll make you feel better. Why would God tell us to rejoice all the time? Because it battles depression. When you make yourself praise God, it keeps you from being in the mully grubs. That's why God says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. What you used to have joy about, rejoice. Go back. If I'm going to rejoice, that means the first thing I'm going to is the day I got saved. And I thank God. Every Christian ought to thank God every day that Jesus saved your soul. That's where it starts. If I'm going to rejoice, go visit again what God gave me inside joy about. I go first to salvation. What's the next thing I would go to? Thank you, God, for giving me a copy of your word. I don't have to guess what God said. God loved me enough to give me a pure copy of what God told me. What else would I go to if I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, I'm going to thank God every day that I'm saved. I'm going to thank God every day for His word. And then I'm going to thank God for His goodness to me. If you could use Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Now, when we were studying the Psalms, we went through Psalm 42 and 43. Psalm 42 and 43 normally go together, and it is God's way of helping us deal with discouragement and depression. You read that. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. And you'll read that several times in that passage. That is what many Christians have run to help us, because we all get discouraged. I get discouraged. I deal with depression. You're not going to preach a perfect book from an imperfect source, amen, to an imperfect people and not deal with frustrations. I deal with plenty of them. Every pastor has to learn how to deal with that. And watch this. I'm not saying that I get depressed more than anybody. I'm saying I have to deal with it like everybody has to deal with it. And one place a tool in your toolbox could be Psalm 42 and 43. Hope thou in God. Now, if you've not used that, that's a tool I wanted to point out to you. Tonight, how do you think about God? God wants you to think about how He loves you. Think about that. God's patience, listen closely, God's patience with you should amaze you. You should be in awe, okay? God is, okay, you say, oh, well, how do you know? God's a lot more patient with you than you are with others. That helps me love God, what I just told you. Because you wouldn't put up with others what God puts up with you, right? That helps me love Him. I'm thinking with my mind. I'm thinking about how God loves me. You're supposed to think about how God loves you. Could I just ask you this? Would you keep a car that didn't run and wasn't able to take you where you wanted to go? I'll answer the question for you. You wouldn't. Do you go everywhere God tells you to go? God keeps you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Would you keep an employee that never did what you told him but always did his own thing? God keeps you. Aren't you glad? Being thankful for how God loves you is healthy for your mind. Thank God. God loves me this way. Have you ever thought of this? Think of how God has provided for you. The air that you breathe is God's gift to you. Whenever you take a breath, God says He holds it in His hand, right? And God says, you know what happens when He closes His hand? The animals die. And then they're rebirthed and all that stuff, and they go through the birth cycle. How about this? The clothes that you wear, the food He provides for you. Have you ever thought about this? Praise the Lord. God feeds you even though you rebel against Him whenever you do. God's never told you one time, well, fine, you want to run the show and do your own thing? Then, fine, here. Go starve to death. God feeds us when we fight against Him in our rebellious heart. Isn't that? You see what I'm doing? I'm not lifting up man, but I'm trying to say, think of how God loves you and you're loving God back with your mind. Because that does something to your love for God, doesn't it? When you think of His goodness to you. Okay? And I've mentioned tonight the salvation. When you love God with your mind, it's healthy. Remember, who you love with your mind is your choice, who you think about. When you get saved, you love God because He saved you. The temptation is, look, everybody gets a same dose of the Holy Ghost and all that when you get saved. The temptation is, as you get to be an older Christian, you pull back from that love. And you got to remind yourself, right? Thou hast left thy first love. All of us have a tendency to leave the one who loved us first. So we have to do what? Revisit it. And God says, I want you thinking about me. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. You were in Philippians. Just go back to the Gospels there. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 22, and I want you to notice two words. Thought and consider. Notice this whole passage here. Just Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And notice, notice two words as we go through this passage. And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. That would include your mind. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider. Interesting word. You're going to see this word consider many times. The word consider means this. Think in detail. Think it through from start to finish. Every detail. Consider what? What do you want me to think in detail about? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. I'm sorry, you're at verse 24. I saw verse 27. Go to verse 24. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. God says, consider or think about this. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now, if that's the only verse you had in your Bible, isn't it wonderful to know God tells us in the Bible that humans are more important than animals, especially in this day and age we live, right? Okay, look at verse 25. And which of you by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? In other words, it doesn't change your height one bit for you to wish you were taller. If you think you're too tall, it doesn't matter. That's how God made you. You can't change your height by wishing you were different. Okay? Look at verse number 26. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? The things we worry about is senseless. Notice verse 27. Consider, think in detail about the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And then Jesus tells us, O ye of little faith, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Watch this. This is the text for this little passage here, verse 29. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me just use verse 29 here. God says, don't be of a doubtful mind. This is important for me to say at this point in the message. Are you ready? I don't live everything in the Bible. I haven't mastered the Christian life yet. There's things I'm working on. Amen? I have not arrived. So listen to me closely. I don't live everything in the Bible, but I believe everything in the Bible. Amen? Somewhere, if I hadn't said the last part, well then throw him out. But you need to understand that. Okay? I don't know anybody that lives the whole Bible. But what determines your growth as a Christian is what you believe about the Bible. Because if you don't believe it, then you're not trying to live it. Right? So, when Jesus says, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, then what helps me as a Christian is I'm determined. I'm not going to read a verse and then wonder if it's true or not. I'm not going to read one promise in the Bible and wonder if God meant it. Now, there are many things that I'm working on, but this passage is talking about trusting God to take care of you as you put God first. As you put God first. I realize it's easy preaching, hard living, but because we want to be in control. This tells me you have to do more than hear a preacher preach the Bible. You hearing me preach a sermon doesn't... You still have to decide you're going to believe the Bible. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. But what you believe is your choice. Amen? You have to do more, listen, than read the Bible yourself. You have to decide you're going to believe what you're reading. Because that's your choice. You have to do more than quote Bible verses. You have to decide you're going to believe the verses that you're quoting. It's your choice. I've taught the Bible to my children, but I can't make them believe it. It's their choice. Their choice. I teach and preach the Bible in our church, but I don't make anyone believe it any more than I make somebody get saved who I witness to. That's their choice. Verse 29, Jesus tells us, for you to decide, you and me, that we're going to believe the Word of God and not doubt it if it's true or not. You know why people stay in church regardless of any circumstances? Because they determined that God's word's true and they're going to believe it. Do you know how come people get out of church? When the first thing goes wrong. Because they haven't decided yet whether God's word is true or not. God's only good as long as things are going my way and I'm enjoying life. But if life gets hard and I suffer, it's God's fault and I'll quit on God. I'm just telling you, that can be people's mindsets. In Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's stayed. It is not of a doubtful mind. It takes determination for you to control your mind. In our day and age, God isn't going to make you do anything that he's commanded you. So tonight, I'd like to tell you, please be careful that you don't blame God when you're mentally lazy. You're supposed to resist and rebuke your doubts. I've had doubts. I don't dwell there. I'm supposed to resist them, and I'm supposed to say, I'm not believing that. Don't be of a doubtful mind. It doesn't help you when you read people's posts on their internet or their website who don't believe God, or when you listen to people who correct the Bible. It's amazing what people tolerate on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Periscope. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's gone. We have more access to people's thoughts that don't matter than any time in human history. I've never seen, it's literally an information overload. Oh, well, I got to check this. Good grief. Remember one day where there used to be just a newspaper, and you didn't read the whole newspaper, you just read the part of the paper that you liked, right? And then when you were done, you lit a fire with it, you threw it in the trash. Those days are long gone. You go to your page, and man, it's a... and find worthless information. What are the Kardashians doing this week? Where did Meghan Markle go for lunch yesterday? Who cares? Good grief, who cares? I have never seen such a bunch of worthless information. And the list just goes on and on. Please be careful. Rebuke yourself and repent of your unbelief. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. What does God tell me to do with my mind? God commands me to love Him with all of my mind. I'm supposed to think about how God loves me, and then my love for the Lord increases. I'm supposed to not be of a doubtful mind. Get the things out of my life that cause me to doubt God's word. I don't think Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, I don't think any of that's sinful. But to me, it's clutter. Guess what, so-and-so? I got a message the other day on my phone. You have 219 invitations for friendship on Facebook. 219, really? That's depressing. I mean, I know people, 219 friends. I'm going, ugh, delete. But so-and-so wants to be your friend. I don't care. I'm just amazed. I don't want the clutter. The relationships are supposed to include eye contact. If I need somebody or somebody I need to ask, I can call them on the phone. I don't mind texting. But good grief, everything is now at a level where we've never seen this before. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 13. Ready? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When God says, gird up the loins of your mind, because they had flowing garments over in the Middle East, and it helps deal with the heat and the dissipation of the heat, before a man would go to battle or before he would run in competition, he would take the garment behind him and he would pull it up and tuck it into his belt. Now his legs weren't tied up with a garment that was flowing, his outer robe. When God says, gird up your mind, the crotch in a pair of pants is called the girth. Okay, I know that's old talk, but that's the difference between a man and a woman's garment, is the girth. Okay, or you could say the crotch. God says, to help you run faster and to help you fight, gird up your mind. Take the loose garment, tuck it in your belt. Now you're ready to run. Now that you're ready to run. So now we kind of worked our way through the terminology here. Watch this. Be sober to the end for the grace. Being sober has nothing to do with alcohol. Being sober means being serious-minded. Get a hold of your mind. Gird it up. Get it ready to run. Get it ready to focus and be of sober mind. Then watch this. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're all supposed to be looking forward to His coming. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, Has anybody noticed at the end of verse number 13 is a semicolon? At the end of verse 14 is a colon. We still haven't reached a period yet. Verse 15, ready? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Period. From verse 13 to verse 16 is one sentence. So gird up the loin. If you're going to live for God, it takes you getting control of your mind and girding up the loins of your mind and focusing on what you're doing. Nobody's a good Christian by accident. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get focused. You ever heard the statement, get your game face on, right? Focus on what you're doing. It takes the same focus as a Christian. People are letting video games, movies, internet, TV seasons control their thinking. What happens when you watch Criminal Minds over and over again? Teach you how to murder? Teach you how to rape? Teach you how to not get caught by the law for 10 or 12 or 15 years at a time? And then we wonder why our society, I mean, they're sitting and watching it for 45 minutes. What were you taught at the end? Well, how to kill somebody. Well, you got to learn how the criminals think so you can be safe. So one time didn't help you? You had to watch 15 programs? Everybody hear what I'm talking about? They're watching it over and over again. How about a show like this? The adultery and the fornication and the homosexuality and the godless thinking dominate all of the programs, including Disney. How about this? Somebody said, oh, you got to sit down. This was years ago. Now I know I'm dating myself, but somebody said, oh, The Littlest Mermaid came out. You got to sit down and watch it. Oh, it's good. Okay, well, watch The Littlest Mermaid. It's a cartoon. How bad can this be? I got so furious during that cartoon. My wife will tell you. What happens in The Littlest Mermaid? She rebels against her dad. Then she goes to the devil and she makes a deal. How does the story end? Everything's all right. Can you make a deal with the devil and everything turn out all right? I was furious. I said, so this is how the kids in America are being programmed. You can play with the devil, make deals with, rebel against your parents, and everything will turn out just fine. I said, this is damning our nation. I was furious. I didn't even finish watching it. My wife will tell you, I said, shut it off. Our kids were there. Oh, you got to let your kids watch this. Do y'all remember that? Okay, good. I'm glad you don't. But our kids were sitting there. They were just a little bit. Oh, you got to watch it. The more it went, I was like, this is sick. And I got news for you. The cartoons haven't gotten any better. Well, now they're teaching, right, now they're teaching about Jesus. I'm right. Bind up your thoughts. America is going crazy. People are having surgery to put horns on their heads. People are having surgeries, paying thousands of dollars to have their tongues split. People are paying to have surgeries where real scars, they want real scars like they've been cut on their chest, like they've been whipped. So they go in with a scalpel, they cut, they do the stitches and, you know, keep the skin apart so that welts can, and I'm sitting here going, really? That's for weirdos. Does everybody understand that? But that's where our society's going. They're mentally ill and they live in a fantasy world and they actually think that they're normal. That garbage comes from their thinking, from what they've been doing. Take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to show you a word here that I hope helps you. I know it's helped me a whole lot as a pastor, and I don't know. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse number 3, and verse number 4 is really what I want you to focus on. Ready? But if we're looking at this sentence, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5 is the sentence. So watch this. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, colon, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and then notice these two words, evil surmisings. See, we don't use that word, but it's a beautiful word in your King James Bible. The word surmisings means this, to come to a conclusion over words never spoken. Here's a surmising. Are you ready? Pastor doesn't like me. Has he said he doesn't like you? No, but I can tell he doesn't. That's a surmising. You know what surmisings are? Surmisings are the devil's mind games. No, I've heard, and I don't know, yeah, I've heard it twice since I've been here, but it's been a while since we've had it in our church. Every Christian needs to understand, evil surmisings are when you let your head games and you draw conclusions about people that they've never spoken to you. Oh, I can read between the lines, though. I can. Here's another one. I did hear this. Pastor hates me. Yeah, he does. Did he say he hates you? No, but I can tell. I read people. That's a surmising. Christian, if I'm trying to help you with your mind, could I please point out to you, God says, be careful how you think. If they didn't hear them say it, then why are you drawing a conclusion from that? Please be careful. I've watched this right here get people out of church. Well, that family over there, they don't like me. Really? Yes, I can tell. So then they leave church. I've watched this. I've seen this. I've seen this in every church I've been in. So could I just point it out to you, Christian? Please be careful how you think. The devil will toy with you and he'll throw doubts at you, right? Ephesians 6. And if you want to play with him all day, you may. And you'll draw conclusions. It's amazing. And then you get out of church and then you start talking, well, this happened in the church. And really, it didn't happen. You just pictured it in your head about 1,000 times. And you've convinced yourself that's what took place. You fell for the devil's mind games. If I want you to have a strong mind, gird up the loins of your mind, get control of your mind, and don't just realize the devil's trying to play mind games with you, trying to get you to draw conclusions over that. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at another one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ready? Here we go. We were in 1 Timothy. You're just going to go back just a couple of books there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ready? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts or desires. And watch, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Of your mind. Your mind is renewed when you read God's word. If you're not reading the Bible, then the word is then the world is corrupting your mind with its media and its music and its fake news and all of that stuff. You have to put the Bible in your mind. Read your Bible and learn about what happened when God saved you. That's what this is saying here, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, that's one of the blessings about soul winning, is you study salvation so you can communicate it to others. And what happens when you get to lead a soul to Christ? You get to give your testimony, right? Soul winning has helped me more than just help me lead people to Christ. I get to study and think about salvation. Watch this, just like every soul winner is supposed to. It helps you as a Christian. Think about what God did for you when He saved you. Let God's Word strengthen you to run from your old life. Nobody that gets out of church ever does so that they can start new sin. Everybody who gets out of church always goes back to the old sin, the old music, the old fornication, the old crowd, the old alcohol. They go back to the former things. They don't get out of church so they can start a new sin. Let God's word renew the spirit of your mind. And Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. I just want you to see this and think about this. Look at verse 13, Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Please notice verse 15, but watch. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly, watch, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So when God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, and he made that 500-mile trek through the Mesopotamian Crescent, and came down to Israel and wandered and had God gave him a son, and God, and then he died. They weren't thinking, how did they make it? Read Hebrews 11, 1 through 12, and it talks about the Old Testament saints and how did they keep going? Because they were going to a place that God had promised, and you can't keep looking back. You cannot be mindful or your mind full of where you came from. You ought to be rejoicing of where God brought you from, not thinking, wow, I used to do this. There's things I used to do too that I'm glad I don't do anymore. Your mind cannot be full of, well, I used to party like this, and I used to get your mind out of where you came from. Or you're going to have an opportunity to go back. That's what it says. They would have had opportunity to return if they were always dwelling on the former life. The music I used to listen to, and the friends I used to hang around, and the Christian, focus on what God has for you now. Be careful what you fill your mind with. Because if you're always dwelling, Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. Leave the city and don't turn back. Well, I just can't leave everything. It's a way of saying God killed her. Christian, you can't be mindful of where God, praise God where he brought you from. But don't keep going back there or you'll return because of what your mind's full with. Be careful. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at one more thing that we can do with our mind, and then I'm going to work through this passage here, verses 1 through 8, and just start at verse 1 and watch. Philippians chapter 2 in your Bible. Ready? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. Here we go, of one mind. Notice verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem or see other better than themselves. So, I'm going to draw some conclusions from these verses. Ready? If you're envious or jealous of somebody else, if you're at odds with somebody else and you're not getting along, if you are seeking to make yourself look good and everything is about the image, then I can make this conclusion from the scripture tonight. You're not in your right mind. The mind God gives you to have access to when you get saved. If you think you're better than anyone else, you're not in your right mind. Look at verse 4. Ready? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'm making some conclusions. I'm using this passage, but the main reason people get depressed is because they love themselves and the rest of the world doesn't. But they think they should. Do you know how many people are on mind antidepressant medicine in America? 1 in 6. You do the math on that. 1 in 6 are on antidepressants. Most of the people who are mentally unstable and can't handle life are people who think the world is supposed to revolve around them, and then they find out it doesn't. Our society is being programmed with self-esteem and self-love like never before. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And it also says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen a society so stuck on themselves? Where it's all about me and my image. The plastic surgeons last year, 2018, they said, what is scaring us as surgeons is girls are coming into the plastic surgery, and I guess I don't take selfies. I have frenzies. I don't need selfies. Okay. But because of girls being insecure, they can take selfies, and now they've got these apps that just fixes the picture and makes the face perfect. So it takes it, and if they got zits or whatever, you know, it takes them off, and then it lengthens the neck and makes the eyes bigger and raises the cheekbones, and it does all of that it's on the phone, right? The plastic surgeons are saying, girls are now coming into the plastic surgeon. They're saying, I want to look like my selfie. I want to look like that. That's kooky. This isn't real. What's on your phone isn't real. When you look in the mirror, that's what's real. You're living in a fantasy land.
Okay.
If you want to be of a sound mind, stop loving yourself so much and start loving other people more. A good marriage is when both are loving each other, not one person demanding the other person love them. That's what makes for a marriage. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago in the humility. Tonight, people's expectations are so unreasonable because they live in a social media, Hollywood movie, rock or rap music fantasy land, and they develop this virtual world where nothing matches their expectations, and then they get depressed because they find out life is hard. It's hard. Toughen up.
I can't, my this broken.
Toughen up. You got more life to face. That's not reality. Look at what you're crying over. What are you crying for?
My phone.
How'd we make it without your phone? It's amazing. It's amazing. Life's hard. I'll close with this. When somebody says this,
nobody treated me right.
Then Christian, tonight, I'm trying to help you. What led you to think that everybody's going to treat you right? That was in your mind, because that's not reality. People will mistreat you.
Well, everything didn't go the way I thought it would.
Then Christian, is your thinking tied to God's word or your imagination? You want a neat Bible study? Look up the word imagination in your Bible and you'll find every time it's mentioned, it's corrupt. Because it's not reality. You understand? Tonight, I wanted to give you God's commands with our mind. What does God tell me and command me and expect me to do with my mind? It is a beautiful Bible study. I hope it helps you. Because when the world is losing it, we ought to be of a sound mind as God's people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth tonight. Lord, I wish, please, that each person here could be helped.